Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is the Justin and Heidi Unfiltered Podcast. I am Justin.
And I'm Heidi.
We are your hosts. Thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you tuning in. We started talking last week about something is off, air quotes, why we ignore relationship red flags. We introduced betrayal blindness from Dr. Freud. And we talked about red flags that you've noticed in our relationship, and answered some heavy questions. And it was great. It was a good episode, and we're going to continue the discussion. So this is part two. Part two of two, maybe, but yeah, it could be three.
Yeah, probably not three.
Probably not three. Okay, so now we're going to talk about some psychological reasons behind ignoring red flags. Kind of discuss why we choose to ignore. So I've listed five reasons, and you feel free to jump in at any point if any of these relate to you or speak to you. Betrayal blindness is the fifth one, which I think is where most of it lies. But five reasons for the psychological reasons behind ignoring red flags. Well, number one, fear of conflict or the unknown. Desire to maintain the status quo. Hope that things will improve on their own. I did that a lot. I didn't want to face reality because I guess the first one and the third one, I was afraid of what could happen. I would just hope that things would go back to normal on their own and that things would be okay without really addressing them. And I know, just laugh. I know now that the only way to have true resolution is just to talk about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I didn't necessarily deal with the red flags either. I was maintaining the status quo.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a part of me, and I've said this our whole marriage, I knew who I married when I married you. It's not like I was, so I don't know if I would say it was a red flag.
Okay. I just had a thought. If it weren't for our religious beliefs and our connection to what we believe will happen after this life, like being married for eternity, going through what we went through, how long would we have lasted without that religious connection?
Here's what's funny though, because of our religious connection is why we view pornography in the way we view it.
Go on.
If we didn't have a religious connection, or if we didn't believe in God, or if we didn't believe, why would we care that that's what we wouldn't, pornography wouldn't be per se the issue in our marriage.
You don't think so?
I don't think you would be under the influence of you needing to hide it like you do.
Ooh. That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, hypotheticals can be dangerous either way, so I was kind of even joking, but that's a good point. It's a very good point. Okay. So the fourth psychological reason that I put down here was self-doubt and minimizing concerns. Maybe this feeling isn't right. I should just trust them and minimizing concerns. That's one. And then, of course, betrayal blindness, the tendency to overlook betrayals to protect important relationships. And that one's the way that I understand it from the article that we read 2 weeks ago and the other article we read tonight. I see it as it's almost subconscious. It doesn't mean that there's not a decision that's made, but I still feel a lot of it is subconscious. And it's a coping mechanism. And she even connected it to the freeze response, like fight or flight or freeze, when you're in a mode where you have where a response is going to be triggered. And that she connects to freeze, which I don't see from you very often. You're not a freeze kind of person. But I do see where she's coming from and why this is connected to that, because it's our ability to just say, I'm sure it's fine, push it aside, and not have to face the reality of it. And in some cases, in my opinion, I think you were forced to do that because you didn't have a willing partner who would be honest with you.
Right, but that's where I question the betrayal blindness kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, we talked about that last episode too. But that's the interesting thing about this psychology is that it's not black or white.
Right.
There's lots of gray area. Everybody's situation is different. But this idea of betrayal blindness was captivating. It was very intriguing. And we're, of course, sharing our experiences. But what I've noticed, the next thing we're talking about is societal pressures and expectations and how they can contribute to denial or betrayal blindness. I've seen this depicted in shows, TV shows and movies, and in relationships of people that I've met. And I see it as it's almost a societal norm.
And getting more normal every day.
Right.
Like what we see on the TV now that our kids watch would have never been on TV even when we were their age.
Right. But there's always going to be examples that convince people of the opposite. Like things that you can get away with remember that, that show in the 70s with that big guy that smoked a cigar and sat in a chair in his front, Archie Bunker. He would say things like the derogatory homosexual word, the F word, and people replay that and they say, no, we're a lot more strict now. No. A couple of specific things we've gone a different way on, but in general, media has become kind of filthy to a point where it's just normal now to hear and see things that are just, that should be abhorrent.
Or was abhorrent. But why, I guess that's where I question the societal norms and the things that society tells us. But why is it abhorrent? Why should it be abhorrent?
My first thought goes back to your faith. I mean, like you said a minute ago, if it weren't for our faith, if I didn't have the faith system that I have, you know, maybe none of it would be abhorrent to me.
But you also wouldn't have been hiding it.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, oh, just because we believe in the religion we believe in and they've very much made you feel bad for even touching your own body.
Yeah.
Which is a little abhorrent.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Then if we weren't in that and you didn't feel the need to have to hide that you see or view porn.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I still think pornography is damaging to a relationship,
mm-hmm.
no matter what, because it brings in this fantasy aspect, this unattainable sense of that's what sex is. That's what a true relationship is. Like I'm watching these reality TV shows and, you know, the guy is getting married at first sight or whatever. And he's saying, I've never been in love. Well, you've never been in the love that you saw on TV that they depicted as love.
Right.
But that's not love. That's not true. So that's where the society norms start to really irritate me, because 10 people agree that's now what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But what if 100 people disagree?
Yeah.
But because 10 people agree and they were able to get it going, that's now like, that's okay. That's the norm.
Well, and we kind of beat the societal norm too with our marriage and courtship because I know the stereotype of Mormons are one thing, but we got married pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, we dated, first date was Valentine's Day. I proposed on
April Fool's Day
and we were married in August, 4 months later.
Labor Day weekend.
Right. But then
we like them holidays.
We do like them holidays. But we've been married 21 years, and some could argue we've been through a lot. And maybe if we'd courted each other longer, it wouldn't happen. But I don't buy into that.
Yeah, I don't think it would have changed much.
No, I think we absolutely made the right decision. But that's also been one of my motivations for continuing. When I felt like maybe it had reached its end. And it comes down to core beliefs. My core beliefs are family. Family's always been up there. I don't know. I feel like core beliefs change here and there, but family's always been important to me. And crap, where was I going to go? Oh, things that I don't like on TV. One of my major things that I find, some people would call it offensive, I just think I don't like watching it, is depictions of cheating. Stories that show characters cheating, and it's written, it's a scripted thing. And the worst is when it's told in jest, and like it's funny. I hate that. I've never liked it. And another thing is when shows depict Jesus or God, and it's a joke. You know, like, for whatever reason, these later seasons of The Simpsons, you know, I love The Simpsons. There's just more and more episodes where they're bringing in their character of Jesus, and he's dancing around and being funny and doing stupid stuff. I mean, that's just, it's sacred to me, so I don't like it. What's my reaction? I click next episode, and I don't see what's in that episode, because it's not the end of the world. Well, my point is that that kind of stuff has always been abhorrent to me. I don't like watching it.
Oh, but you'll view porn.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's very...
Right. Right. So there's still a connection to core values, but there's something that still drives that decision to use pornography. There's still that decision for good, well-meaning people to decide to go and drink. And it's not just social drinking, but like drink way too much. There's still a decision for people who take drugs, do meth, do coke. Like, it doesn't mean that the person doesn't have core beliefs, but there's different, right. There's a separation.
Right. No, I think that's the interesting thing is, this has just been my own personal experience. I do believe everyone has a core belief, but there is a part of them that knows they're not living one of their cores to the fullest.
Yeah.
That then they do something else.
Yeah.
That's abhorrent. That's also not right. And in it's so funny because two wrongs don't make a right, but in some weird way, it's Satan. That's the tools that he uses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've already done this. You're already not doing this. You've already
come this far. You might as well. So just
let's push that button. Is it drinking? Is it drugs? Is it porn? Is it what else can I do that is of my world?
Yeah. That's why when you said that a second ago, you know, I'm talking about my core beliefs and how I don't like seeing certain things on TV. And your comment was, oh, but you'll view porn. I understand your comment. I get it. It's just not that simple.
Right. But that's where I find it interesting, because in our years of marriage, and I can only go off of our interactions, but I would imagine, like you learned in group therapy, none of us are unique. We might not all do the exact same A through C,
mm-hmm.
but we all, there is somebody out there that has done unique. The same things.
You're not that special. We've
done. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not unique. You're not special. There's somebody else there are 1,000 other people who've done that same exact thing.
Right.
I find it the most interesting that you would judge others so heavily and so readily, more so than mm-hmm. like I would.
Yeah, being judgmental was a big thing for me.
Huge.
And it's tied to one of those, I think it's uniqueness, just mm-hmm. being overly judgmental. It might be narcissism. I can't remember which one, but go on.
But I do find that very interesting that, like, you at your core know you aren't living your full values, the things that really make you who you are. Mm-hmm. And you know you're making the wrong choices. You know you're not doing the right things per se.
Yeah.
According to what you believe is right. And then you'll skip an episode on The Simpsons because they're taking one of those other core beliefs.
Right.
And making fun of it.
Right.
You'll yell at the driver in front of you because he cut you off when you did it to the driver three cars back.
Hey now.
Hey. Hey. I find that fascinating. Yeah. I find it fascinating watching how people interact. And that's the thing with the societal norms. And that's where I start to really start to dig in and just go, this is fascinating to me, because I don't think anything is wrong per se. We're all down here to learn. We're all down here to make choices. We're all down here to see what fits our life best. But at the end of the day, what are we doing it for?
Yeah.
Why are we, why do we care about our religion, going to the church we go to and believing in the things we do?
Yeah.
I know why I do.
Right.
And that will keep me going that way. That
that's a strong connection to your core beliefs.
Strong connection to my core beliefs. And that is when it's like, when I'm faced with a choice, it's really easy for me to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do I make the right one every time? No, no, I don't. But I almost always immediately know when I haven't made the right one. Mm-hmm. And I try to remedy it.
Make it better. What you're describing is a healthy person. I think a healthy response to things, to choices. And so to answer your fascination, I had two thoughts. One is that it's symptomatic, my responses to things, and why I can view one thing one way and be.
But yet live this just, other way.
Right. And live another. It's symptomatic because I have chosen to act out as a response to stressors in my life. And the symptoms or the, what do you get from medication? Side effect of that, one of the side effects of that is an inability to function properly with your brain, especially with certain drugs and with pornography, because drugs and pornography affect your brain the same way at different heights. I understand cocaine does more, but the neurotransmitters that are creating pathways in your brain with pornography can be the same way.
Right.
Just, I'm not saying it's the same thing. Make sure we, so anyway, so a lot of those, they're symptomatic for the thing that I'm doing to myself. But also now that I'm 170 days sober now, and I have,
do you know the exact date?
Can you not call me out on that right now? Cause no, I don't. And I hope she's not listening. Cause she called me out. No, I don't. It's around 170 days. And I can be better at that, I know. But here's the thing about having a clean brain for, this is almost 6 months? 180, yeah, almost 6 months. My brain is clean from the effects of pornography. And if you don't understand really why that's important, you need to do a little bit of research. The
go
stuff
back that, and listen to our last, was 4 episodes ago.
Oh my gosh, we could do 10 more episodes on how the neurotransmitters affect your brain when you look at pornography. Like, your brain is not clean. But with a clean brain, I can look back, and now when I'm getting mad at the person in front of me who cut me off, okay, hear me out. The irony is not lost on me that I just did it to the person behind me. In my mind, that's a big step. Okay? I still am doing the thing. But the pathway is clear in my brain. And I'm seeing, oh, I did that. The difference is profound. Tunnel vision. I can't see that thing that I did behind me. This is more important. What's happening to me right now is more important. That's all I can focus on.
But that's the interesting thing about when you are addicted to something, and I think this is true for anyone who's addicted to something. It's about me.
Yes.
It's about what's happening to me, and that's why I use what I use.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very, I mean, addictions and habits are very selfish in nature, I think.
Meant to be.
So, yeah, you're not wrong. But the problem is that it's a cycle, and the more you get into it, the stronger that is. So the stronger your selfishness. So these little things that I would miss around the house, how could I forget something like that? Well, duh.
Because it wasn't about you.
Right.
Same with our arguments when I would get after you for something like that, and you'd be like, "Whoa, whoa, you don't get to treat me like this. I'm not going to take this abuse."
What an idiot.
But you did see yourself, you were being attacked.
Right. And not being treated as an equal. Yeah, dumb. But that's how far you can get convinced of yourself when you allow these behavioral things to become so much a part of you, and when you let your thought distortions become truth. That's what the world looks like. And it's not worth it. This is hard. Honesty is hard.
Yeah, when you try it out for the first time in 44 years.
See, another one of those. Like, first of all, was I lying in the womb? Like, bro, why don't you calm down? But also, that's not going to offend me. Were you kind of a jerk for saying it? Yeah, objectively. Let's talk about the consequences of ignoring red flags. Unless you had something else. Okay. So I wrote down a couple of consequences, like an escalation of problems. I think we saw that in the last several years as my use became more regular. My anxiety was more heightened. And then we added other things like losing a job, and then just the scales were tipped. And I
Well, but
wasn't.
even before you lost your job, it was changing jobs
Right. Changing jobs
and
was
then working from home and then COVID
COVID.
and then kids being at home,
Yeah.
school at home. And
Right.
then, I mean, all those things.
I was not mentally equipped to handle any of it.
But those are also things where that's why it went as long as it did.
Yes, I agree. So, an escalation of problems, very common potential consequence of ignoring red flags. Erosion of trust and intimacy. If you're comfortable talking about this, the intimacy part. So, the erosion of trust, I think we've covered that. The erosion of intimacy, I think, is two prongs. One, intimacy to me was only sex. And that's what intimacy was. And now I'm learning it's so much more than that. And it's also so much better. And the frequency of sex is different now, but our overall intimacy is so much greater. I've never been happier with our intimacy. It's only been 6 months. But there was also many times when sex was just off. It wasn't as satisfying. And I can tell you, there were some times when I wasn't sure why, but for the most part, I knew why. There was something off between us, and I was not doing what I should. I wasn't trying to face it. I wasn't being honest about it. I was ignoring it.
Because sex without intimacy is just sex.
It is just sex. And what's the difference between sex and just masturbation?
Not much.
I've come to realize that the emotional connection makes such a difference. And you can't have that in a dishonest relationship. they can't coincide. Our bodies aren't, I mean, take the religious aspect out of it. I can tell you why I think that is, because God created us to be able to connect with one another and be honest. Take the religious aspect out of it, fine. That's not how our minds work. Our minds are incredible thing. Our brains are incredible. We can learn to connect with another human being, and our brain is inside us, and it can somehow connect with the brain of another person. It's meant to do that. And when you add in dishonesty, there's not an emotional connection.
There's a wall.
There is a wall. And that leads to the next one as well, prolonged emotional distress. And when I said my inability to cope or handle mentally the issues that I was going through, I never addressed how to handle my anxieties. Because I'd never gone to therapy. I'd never talked through my issues. I just bottled it up. Or I was dishonest. Or I said just enough to get by. And that was it. And then the last thing I put down was missed opportunities for growth and change. And I'm not... I don't think that we should spend time in shame, but I still struggle with that. I am really ashamed of my choices, but this one hurts, the missed opportunities for growth and change, because if I'm sitting here and I don't think to flip my rubber band, I will think about 20 years, how many times I've wasted an opportunity to grow and change. It hurts. It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, that is, it's always going to hurt. It's always going to suck, but how is that productive?
Right. Sitting in shame.
How does that change? I mean, how does that change anything?
Right.
It doesn't change anything. It actually puts you more back into a vulnerable state to go right back to doing what you were doing. That's why when you aren't living those core values, that's why it's so easy for you to do something that you would find abhorrent otherwise.
Yeah. Now I see the connection again back to our faith system and the gospel. Just my view of this, when you're in the throes of deceit, Satan wants you to continue to do that. He thrives when you are doing the opposite of thriving, when you're miserable. He never stops though. So when you face reality and you come clean, and you then are thinking about all the things you've done wrong, he's right back. Which I think is where a lot of people lose their way. Because they've just done this really hard thing and they're doing great. But now I have to face the reality of my actions. Now I have shame. And the cycle repeats. And it sucks. Which is why I think you've got to develop a healthy understanding of the difference between shame and regret, or shame and being sorry, and get better. We say in therapy, let go and let God. The past, and one of our apostles, I believe it was Boyd K. Packer, well known for saying the past is to be learned from, not lived in. Mm-hmm. And addicts and people who struggle with emotional distress have a hard time differentiating that, because the past is painful. And if I'm thinking about it, then it hurts. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to have a healthy brain to be able to look at the past and say, yeah, it sucks that I did that. But look where I am now. Good still may have come from it.
I think honestly, good always comes from it. Because if nothing else, you've learned something.
That's fair. I would agree with that. I have a great job. We have a place in our marriage where we have learned how to communicate with each other. We have three terrific kids. Well, two. And another one. We have... Like, I can't go so long without telling a joke. I can't stop myself. Okay. Anyway, great kids. got a great home. A lot of great things have come from our lives in the last 20 years.
Yeah. So even if there was deception in there, even if there was more that you could have done, even if there was a different way of living that life, it doesn't matter because you didn't. But what matters is, what do we do from here?
Right. What do we do from here? I think that's an absolutely beautiful and poignant way to end the episode and this topic. Get to a point where you can just accept what has happened and make the decision, where are we going to go from here? What's next, instead of what have you done?
Right. Because if you look back on what have you done, and so nobody can love you, nobody can like you, nobody, whatever it is. That.
What purpose does that serve?
Yeah.
You said it a few minutes ago.
Yeah. What does that do?
Right.
And this is where we bring it back. None of us are unique. We have all been there. We've all made bad choices. We've all done dumb things. You got to move on.
Yeah.
You got to let go and let God.
I agree. I've been looking at the analytics of our show. I know people are listening. We get a couple of downloads every day, and it's great. Thank you all so much for listening. Wherever you are listening, whatever platform you're choosing, would you do us a favor? Could you just rate us? If your platform allows you, like Apple Music gives you the option to rate, we would sure love to get a little more exposure. And that comes from rating. So you have taken the time to listen to us. I can't tell you how grateful we are for that. We're going to continue to share our life experiences because this is really healthy for us. It's really healthy for me. And we might be able to help somebody else make a different choice, you know? So anyway, that was unscripted. Sorry. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.